Hey, man, I want to speak to you from the subject, get out your comfort zone. Look to your neighbor and say, get out your comfort zone. Come on, somebody. Amen, amen. Somebody had a post the other day, and they were talking about the comfort zone had closed. And I hate that the comfort zone closed, but I need you to know that your comfort zone, come on, somebody, your comfort zone in 2020 needs to be closed for business. Come on, somebody. It's over. See, if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to have to move out of our comfort zone again and again. The Bible guarantees it. So let's first look at what our comfort zone is. And don't worry, saints, we're going to get into scripture. We will. How do we get into a comfort zone in the first place? See, we have seen that the enemy is after our soul in the series, right? The soul is the mind, emotions, and will. And he tries to influence our decisions by introducing thoughts and pressuring us with circumstances. But remember, we said that we are more than overcomers. Remember that series, We Overcome the World, and we said, how in the world are we going to ever be under the circumstances? Because we're more than conquerors, and circumstances are only props, because the little g god of this world, which comes from the Greek word cosmos, which means it comes from the order or the arrangement of things, where we get the word cosmetology from, or makeup, it ain't real. And what we need to understand is when he puts circumstances in our way, we need to understand it's not real. He said, then we saw what we can see, from God's word, we can have. If we can imagine it and believe it, we can have it. We can do what God says we can do if we can see ourselves doing it. That's why the devil tries to capture our minds. Whatever occupies our mind and what we see and believe in our soul is going to determine our destiny. If we want to experience God's perfect will and fulfill his purpose in our lives, we must make right choices, and our choices are made from the strongest images and thoughts in our minds. The enemy will always try to create a comfort zone based upon images and thoughts that are contrary to what the Word of God says about us. He gets us to continue making bad decisions because we are stuck in what? The comfort zone. One of the reasons we do not make the right decisions is because of our past experiences. We may be born again, but our past is still affecting our choices. That's where renewing our minds becomes vital. When we renew our minds with God's word, we are literally renovating our belief systems, our patterns of thought, our imaginations, and our emotions to come out of an ungodly comfort zone into a godly comfort zone. See, we are turning from the low life, living disconnected from God, to the high life or the good life, living as a child of God. See, if we didn't get saved as young children, or we were saved but were not taught to keep our minds renewed in God's word, or we probably have been programmed by the enemy. Therefore, to live the high life in Jesus Christ, we need to enter into the process of reprogramming and returning the way we think, imagine, speak, and act. We begin by recognizing that many of the things we have seen and heard and learned in the past came from the world's systems and the enemies of God. See, for example, the world tells us that when you get older, you're going to have serious health problems like arthritis and loss of memory. You will run out of energy and creativity and retire at age 65. But that's not what the Bible says. See, people who love and serve God do not grow old like that. Moses didn't lead the people of God out of Egypt until he was over 80 years old. And when he died, his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Deuteronomy 34:7 tells us that. Moses was on the job until he died. And he didn't die because of sickness. He just went to heaven when God said it's time. Consider Abraham and Sarah. Genesis 17:17 tells us that Sarah was 10 years younger than Abraham. But when they went down to Egypt and Pharaoh wanted to take Sarah into his harem, Abraham was 75 years old. That means Sarah was 65. But Abraham said, tell the Egyptians you my sister, baby, because you too fine. And when he know I'm your wife, you my wife, he going to try to kill me, girl. Now we know Pharaoh wasn't taking in women in his harem that didn't look fine. Can we keep it real? That girl was fine at 65. Y'all better watch out. Come on, somebody. Abraham did all right too. After Sarah died, Genesis 25 tells us that Abraham took another wife and had more children. He was over 120 years old. This is not just an Old Testament phenomenon, though. There is no mention of any apostles dying sick. Church history tells us that they were all executed except John. And John was vital and a participant in the church until he went to heaven. If you have been programmed by the world to believe you will struggle with all the curses and diseases your family has had, that you will get the flu when your neighbors get the flu, and that you will die sick, then you need to renew your mind and get some God-given beliefs. You need to renovate that old messed up thinking with the Word of God. Galatians 3, 13 through 14 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive promise of the Spirit through faith. See, you do not have to have the sickness and diseases your family has had because your spiritual father is Abraham. And Abraham was not sick. He lived a long, productive life. Christ has redeemed us from the curse and all that's under the curse, which includes sickness and dying too soon. You have been blessed of Abraham. You don't have to retire at 65. You don't have to have the flu or arthritis or cancer, but to live the high life, you have to leave your comfort zone. The old way of thinking and believing, because you are what you think. Then leaving your comfort zone means first changing what you think and believe. God created our minds with a conscious and subconscious. The conscious part sees and knows what's going on. When we are conscious, we are aware and we are aware and knowledgeable. Our conscious mind reasons, calculates, and makes decisions. The heat on or the air on? Check that. Put that junk on 73 cool if it ain't. The subconscious part of us is fed by what the conscious part receives. But I see the women fanning. I'm hot too, baby. Don't worry about it. I'm hot too. You ain't hot flashing. It's real. The day is real. And after repeating this input again and again, it established a set point of standards by which we operate unconsciously. Walk with me now. Walk with me. For example, our conscious mind is in full control when we first learn how to ride a bike. However, after we learn it, we don't have to think about it anymore. Our conscious mind doesn't even think about how to ride a bike. We just get on the bike and start pedaling without even thinking about it. It is automatic because that was conscious. What was conscious has become subconscious through what? Repetition. The same process governs every other behavior pattern in our lives. What has been programmed into our subconscious is what we say automatically given certain circumstances and stimuli. We could say that our subconscious is our autopilot. In an airplane, if you engage the autopilot and then eventually turn it off, but when you turn it back on, it will automatically go back to the previously set altitude and direction unless you reprogram it. Why? Because it's automatic. Most of what we say and do is based on automatic programming of the subconscious. I'm going to tell y'all a story next week, but I got to teach you today, okay? We wake up and go through a morning routine without even thinking about it. We do a large part of our job on autopilot without consciously thinking about it. And when it's time to drive a car, do the dishes, or play a piece of music we have played many times on the piano, we can be thinking consciously of something else while doing these things. This is the power of the subconscious in our life. Have you been driving and all of a sudden you ended up home and didn't even realize you was home because you was on autopilot, wasn't even paying attention, talking on the phone, doing everything else? Why? Because your subconscious mind knows the way home. Have you ever drove somewhere and you was off work that day? Like, man, why in the world am I on the way to work? I'm going to be going to the grocery, so I'm off today. Because you keep doing the same thing over and over again. This happens through repetition when you get something in the subconscious, or through intense emotional experience, or something very intense emotionally. The most intense emotional experience, whether or not it seems so at the time, is being born again. See, when we are born again, we are redeemed from sin. All our sins are washed away forever by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are no longer going to hell with the lake of fire looming in our eternal future. We are going to heaven to live with our loving Heavenly Father for eternity. Now, that is emotional. Changing your eternal address will rock your world and shake up your comfort zone. However emotional or unemotional our new birth experience is, the fact remains that our spirits are reborn, but our souls are not. Although we have the desire, although we have no desire to sin or displease God anymore, our minds or our subconscious and consciousness have been programmed to think, speak, and act like the world and the enemy. So we must renew our minds to God's word and begin to reap the full benefits of our salvation. Think and act like Jesus and receive our inheritance as a joint heir. I don't know about you, but I want everything when it comes to salvation. Salvation doesn't just mean I'm going there. Heaven at the end of my life. Salvation means I'm supposed to have the good life, because Jesus came to give me life and to give it to me more abundantly. I'm supposed to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower. I'm supposed to be blessed in my coming and blessed in my going. I don't want to sit up here and be saved and be broke and wait to go to the next by and by. I ain't worried about the new heaven right now. I want some new shoes today. I want a new car. I want a new house. I want something that's going to make me feel good, but I also want to be able to give to God. That's why he wants to make me a blessing. He don't just want to bless you, Sister Spells. He want to make you a blessing, so you have an overflowing blessing to bless other people when they need something. Come on, somebody. God wants to give you an overflow. That's why he saved you. That's why he brought you into himself. He wants you to look good, because when you look good, he looks good. Come on, baby. You know you get the crust out of your blue eye. You make sure his tie matches his pocket square. Why? Because he represents you, and God wants you to represent him. That's why he gives you a good measure blessing, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. That's why he blesses you abundantly. That's why he does it, because you are his child. But you got to renew your mind and get this broke, busted, and disgusting mentality out of your mind. Reprogram your mind. Get your inheritance. Aren't you tired of not having what you're supposed to have? I need y'all to listen to this sermon. Get this CD, get this tape. I worked on this too long. Romans 12:1-2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, it's reasonable. I own you. Treat the temple right. Stop putting crack in this temple I gave you. Huh? Stop connecting yourself with stuff you shouldn't be connecting yourself with. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, we are to read, study, and meditate and live according to the word of God. This is how we reprogram ourselves to live like Jesus instead of the devil, to live the high life of the kingdom of God instead of the low life of this world. James 1:22-24 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding this natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. The Greek word translated glass means mirror. This next verse, verse 25 in James 1, tells us what the mirror is. Listen to this. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The mirror we need to be looking into is the Word of God. Then we will be blessed in everything we do because we will see ourselves as God sees us. One of the first things we have to reprogram in our minds is the way we see ourselves. When you get up in the morning and look at yourself in the natural mirror, do you like what you see? Usually not. So you what? You immediately straighten yourself up. You brush your teeth, hopefully. You comb your hair. If you're a woman, you put on some makeup. If you're a man, you probably shave. You change the way you look by looking in what? The mirror. The same holds true when we look into the mirror of the Word of God. We read about Jesus telling the disciples to forgive 70 times 7, and we remember how offended we were by something our boss said yesterday. Our mirror is telling us that we need to make an adjustment. We need to forgive and make right what is wrong and out of place. The old comfort zone of resentment and bitterness is no longer comfortable. God has given us a new comfort zone called forgiveness and unconditional love. You see what I'm saying? That's your mirror. See, you keep looking at other folk. That's why when preachers and pastors fall, the whole people around them fall because they keep looking at people instead of Jesus. The minute if T.D. Jakes falls, so many people are going to fall because they're going to say Christianity fake. No, he's a man just like everybody else. That's why you need to don't look at Pastor Maxwell, because Pastor Maxwell's life is messed up just like your life. He just happens to be called to pastor and to preach. But you need to stop looking at the man and look at the Word of God, because I am not your mirror. T.D. Jakes is not your mirror. Joel Osteen is not your mirror. Josh Myers is not your mirror. Stop looking at folk as your mirror. Donald Trump ain't your mirror. But some of y'all use it because you act like because he do that, you can do the same thing. We all fall short. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are supposed to look in the Word and get changed and conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. Every day we should look into the Word of God and identify ourselves more and more with Jesus and less of the world. We have been designed to operate just like God. The interesting thing about transformed by the Word of God is that it affects the physical body. Do you remember when you went to a horror movie? When you was a little kid, and because you couldn't quite separate your imagination from what's real, it affected your body. You started breathing hard, looking around, heartbeat racing. You were not at ease. When you finally went to sleep, you had scary dreams because you allowed your subconscious to be programmed by the horror movie. You thought Freddy or Jason was in the room. This is not living the good life. See, to sleep peacefully and live in ease instead of dis-ease, you have to reprogram yourself with God's word. Disease is named that for a reason. It is what? Dis-ease. When we are not at ease in our minds, when our imaginations are filled with all kinds of ungodly pictures and images, our bodies start acting like what we are thinking. However, when our minds are filled with the love of and revelation of the Father who loves us, protects us, and provides for us, we are at ease. We have the peace that passes all understanding. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Nehemiah tells us, and our bodies are healthy and whole. That is a result of reprogramming our autopilot or our subconscious in the conscious mind of God's Word. God's comfort zone is found in the truth of the Word. Get out your worldly comfort zone and get in God's comfort zone. I don't get no flu shot every year. I ain't getting the flu all the time. Always, let me take it for. I ain't saying if your job tell you, you got to take it, you go ahead. But I'm a walk-in believer. I ain't getting sick. John 8:31-32 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We all want to be free. And the truth is, the only thing that will get us free and keep us free, the Bible tells us that knowing the truth comes only one way, believing on Jesus and abiding in his word. Then we can call ourselves disciples and we can be free. I hear all the time, well, Pastor, I just don't have time to spend in the word. I'm starting a new business. I just had a baby. I'm running to all my children's activity. I've got too many things going on. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are all the ways of death. Guess what? What seems like the best way to us can still get us killed. Without the light of the word of God shining in our hearts and minds, we don't know where we're going. We don't have a clue, in fact. And the best way to end up in bondage or in a ditch somewhere is to neglect the renewing of our minds with God's word. See, the devil knows this, and he does something really interesting. Catch this. He will see to it that believers get distracted and deceived away from the word of God, but he will tell unbelievers God's principles for success. If you really start reading them self-help books and start putting scripture with it, you will realize they got it from the Bible. Huh? Yeah, y'all ain't following me. I know y'all be looking at Steve Harvey, he be saying all these things. He ain't doing nothing but quoting scripture. He'll sit there and try to change a few words, but he don't know it good enough to just say it and flow. He'd be like, dude, stop plagiarizing and just say it's John 25 or something. The devil knows this. See, he'll leave out there is the word of God. He won't talk about Jesus, his death on the cross, or his resurrection, and he certainly won't speak of sin and redemption through Jesus' blood. However, he will make sure that the people he wants to exalt in the world know just enough truth to be successful in what they do. You see, God's word works whether you are a believer or not. You do know that, right? The word works. He said his word will not return unto him void. So whether you are a believer or not, whether you're reading the book as a history book and trying to use it for some business principles and really don't believe in Jesus, if you apply the principles, it will work. You know that, right? It got quiet. See, this is why when I teach organization and time management, there's no better way place to teach it than out of the Bible. Here's a verse we have to test and covers every area of our lives. It says this in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he, but his heart is not with thee. This is God's truth. Think evil and it soon will bring you to complete destruction. Think whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report and virtuous, and you will walk in peace. Remember, you will always move in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. Every successful businessman or woman knows this to be true. See Philippians 4:8-9. It says in Proverbs 10:15, the rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is poverty. This got me, Brother Woody. It got me. It says, why is the destruction of the poor their poverty? And Sister Gloria, it began to say, because they think about it all the time. They wake up in the morning thinking about how they're going to pay their bills. They go to bed thinking about how much food or how much food and bacon it costs. They need to believe on Jesus and continue in his word. They need to see who they are in him in the mirror of God's word and say and reprogram their minds. Change your thoughts and you will change your life. Well, Pastor, you don't know what he did to me. You don't know the mess I'm in. You don't know how bad it is at work. You have no idea what I'm facing every morning. Can I tell you something? You better stop thinking those thoughts if you want to live the high life. What you are thinking is not good. It's not lovely. It's not of good report. I can look. Can you ever look in somebody's face and know what they're thinking? Remember when you were younger and you kept doing some stuff, and all of a sudden, even though your mom on the phone, she gave you this look like you're getting on my last nerve, and if you don't stop, I'm going to choke you with this cord. See, young folk, y'all only know the cordless stuff. You know, you had the cord back then, and you just be quiet. You just stop moving. Why? Because they face revealed what they thought. What do you think? What you think and believe will show outside on you. You will speak and act according to your comfort zone, whether that is being programmed by God or the devil. You will move in the direction of what you think and believe and make decisions from that point of reference. Therefore, if you want to set your autopilot on God's will and timing, you must renew your mind with his word. See, I will not mislead you. Can I be real with you, Deacon Knox? Change involves some discomfort. What you have believed about yourself, that you are a worm with a criminal past and never would get a break, and that you are not smart enough or good looking enough to succeed, that you don't have the talent or the drive other people have, or that you will never be able to be happy with a family or healthy or in a healthy relationship, has given you an excuse to back up, quit, and fail. That kind of thinking is right from the pit of hell and has kept you from being who God created you to be. But it has been all you've ever known, and it has become your comfort zone. Now God wants you to change. First, he wants you to change the way you see yourself. He wants you to see yourself as he sees you: righteous, holy, beloved of God, with a divine nature and destiny, endowed with his autopilot, authority, and power, full of his love and grace. Then he wants you to act like what you see. He wants you to be Jesus to everyone you meet and step out in faith to do what he's called you to do. Can I tell you something? People read the Bible through your life when you really walk the way you need to walk, and then they'll start reading the Bible on their own. Do you know at your job the only Bible they see is you? That's why you can't cuss out nobody at work. You got to go home and call your friends and don't cuss, but complain to them and vent there. Don't vent at your job. You always got to look holy because everybody's watching you. They're looking at you and they're reading the Bible. They see Proverbs 31 on you every time they look at you. They see a virtuous man. They look at you and they read the Bible and they say, how in the world did they get out of this? Why? You got to reprogram your mind because the world is depending on you, because God has put something in you that he has not put in anybody else, that has to get revealed only through you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's why your fingerprints, nobody else has the fingerprints you have, and nobody else can do the destiny that you can do. Stop looking down on yourself and know that God gave you something big to do because you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are the lender and not the borrower. Stop letting people put you down and stop putting down yourself. Can you see how old this is? How this is impossible without renewing your mind with God's word? If you have a drag your feet with God, if you keep dragging your feet, but it's time to step up to the plate and get your mind renewed. Reprogram your conscious and subconscious mind with the living word and be healed in soul and body. Leave your old worldly comfort zone behind and move into the high life with Jesus. Once you begin to walk in the light of his love, grace, and peace, you will never want to look back ever, ever. ever again. You will put your hand to the plow and you won't turn back. I know every now and then people that's close to me, they hear me whining and complaining, but I'm not going to complain in 2020 about anything for ministry. Why? Because a reward is always better than the hell I go through. Because God already told you that if you give up your mama, your daddy, your cousin, your life, your real estate, your job, your city, if you give up all that stuff just for me, I will give back to you 100-fold in this lifetime, but you will have some persecution. Can I tell you something, baby? If you got some persecution, just get happy and grab your bib and put it on your little clothes and grab the good china, baby. Don't grab the plastic plates. Don't grab the plastic spoon. I need to take out the fine china. When your enemy come at you like a flood, I need you to grab the crystal. I need you to get the grain. I need you to get the real stuff. I need you to walk in some good wine, not the cheap stuff, because God is about to bless you in the presence of your enemies. Why? Because he said, I prepared the place for you. Not in the presence of your mama, not in the presence of your daddy, not in the presence of your friend, but I prepared a place for you in the presence of your enemies. Why? So everybody can know that I'm God. Everybody can know that I'm the man. Everybody can know that I am the one who makes everything. But he who began a good work in you shall finish it. If you made it out of 2019, if you made it out of 2018, you better get this perfect vision in 2020 and understand that God want to bless you abundantly. I won't walk in brokenness. I won't walk in disease. I won't walk in sickness. I won't walk in defeat. I shall walk in victory. I shall walk in victory. Hey! Can somebody tell me in 2020 I'm going to be blessed? I'm walking in my blessings. I'm claiming my blessings. I'm claiming it all. Devil, I'm coming for you. I'm going to kick in the gates of hell. Ain't worried about you. I'm bigger than you, because greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. Hey, can I tell you something? I ain't even got to be the best. I ain't even got to be the smartest. I ain't got to be the strongest, because the race is not given to the swift nor the strong, but those who endure. But can I tell you a secret? It ain't about you. It ain't about me. Because he who began a good work in you shall finish it. You ain't got to finish it. You ain't got to do it. God is going to do it for you. He will. He will finish it. He will work it out. Old school people are saying, he'll make a way out of no way. He'll pick you up, turn you around, put your feet on solid ground. Can I start off right? It ain't won't he do it. It ain't won't he do it. Is he already done it? He's already done it. He's already done it. Say yeah. You already got your business. You already got your blessing. You already got your deliverance. You already got your house. You already got it. Because Jesus, the Bible says in Isaiah, before the foundation of the world, he was already crucified. For your transgression, he was wounded. For your fornication, he was broken. For your lying, he went to the cross. For your gossip, so you can be called righteous. Ain't it funny how the devil will call you out your name, but he'll call you something less. But God will call you out your name and call you something more. Oh, you see, y'all don't hear me. Both of them call you out your name. The devil call you a liar. The devil call you a cheat. The devil call you a sinner, and you may be all those things. But that ain't what God made you to be. God calls you out your name, but he calls you righteous even though you ain't. Because as long as you cover with the blood of Jesus, As long as you cover with the blood of Jesus. See, can I talk to some people that don't believe in Jesus right quick? You already know you can't do it on your own. You've been trying it for years. It don't work. You can never do it on your own. The devil is stronger than you. He was second in command in heaven. But Jesus said, I looked up when the devil was talking junk and he was falling like lightning. I ain't even see. God threw him down so fast, I ain't even see him leave. God is stronger than the devil. And the only way you can defeat the devil is to renew your mind and line yourself up with Jesus. So can I tell you something? Even if you don't believe that I'm telling the truth, can you admit what you're trying ain't working? Let's start there. Even if you don't believe what I'm talking about right now, let's just start with the fact that what you're doing is not working now. Try something else. Try Jesus. Try him. Try him in 2020. You know what I like about God? He said, test me. Anybody just told you they be talking junk, try me if you want to. God said, test me and bring your full tithe to the storehouse and see if I don't open up the window of the heaven and part of bliss you won't have room to receive. See it. Watch it. Test me in this. God said, I'm your provider. If you depend on me, I got you. Stop eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Stop trying to do it on your own. That's why some of us don't tithe, because we keep trying to do it on our own. You know, you do know that was a tithe in the midst of the garden, because the tree was something you weren't supposed to touch. But they touched it anyway. But what I'm going to is this. What I'm saying is the tree of knowledge is more than just that. It's you trying to do it your own way. You trying to defeat the devil on your own. You can't win. You can't do it by yourself. You need Jesus. When I'm talking about renewing your mind, when I'm talking about this, I'm telling you, when you begin to renew your mind, there's some things that you can do can't nobody else do. In fact, there's some things you can do that you can't even do. You know what Jesus is like? And I ain't watched the movie. I'd seen it when I was a little kid. And I just say, Shazam. And all of a sudden, they strong. Jesus is like Shazam. I put his name on it. It's a wrap. Huh? Sometimes I hold back and I try not, when my enemies come at me and I need y'all to get this same attitude I have, and sometimes I'm trying not to put Jesus' name on you. Because once I do, he got to handle it. His name is above any other name. And I try to spare my enemies. I do. But 2020 ain't got time to be wasted. I'm just telling you. And you don't either. I need you to know if you're a believer or a non-believer. If you come into the belief and call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, there's some things that will happen in your life that won't happen any other way. Good things. Now, you will have some persecutions. But the thing about it is you're going to win. You're going to win. I need you right now to make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Is there one that wants to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is there one that wants to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Anyone that needs a church home? Is there one?